Boy, I was saying to Raph over the break, this is what baseball is all about, to have Woe and Bill Lasky with us and to talk for 45 minutes without a break and talk about baseball. That you know, we miss it. I'm telling you guys, this is what baseball is all about.
You're right, Marty. Well, it's in our blood. I mean, Bill's still doing it. He's been playing it since he was a little kid, just like myself. And, of course, I'm still in the thick of it here, hoping we can get back on the field. But it never leaves you. Look at you, Marty, how much you love the game, all your knowledge, and all the great people that you have met in this game and interviews that you've done. I mean, you've shared a lot of them with me, and I just thoroughly enjoy listening to you with these interviews and the knowledge that you have. So it's a great show. I'm so happy you're on the air doing what you do, because it brings a lot of joy to a lot of people that love the game of baseball.
It sure does, Ron, but I tell you, I'm right there with Marty, listening to you, who I keep talking about, in the trenches, you know, understanding what the game is and trying to get the outlook of what you remember in so many different ways, as a third base coach, a bench coach, so many managers you were with, and the conversation, you just keep going on for hours and hours with all three of us. The knowledge of Marty and how much he's learned and how much he's taught to the viewers, it comes at no record number. And with all three of us, the triangle of baseball, it's so much fun every Saturday. And, of course, we all look forward to seeing it live and seeing Ron Wotus wear his mask coaching third.
Yeah, we're going to be second-guessing you, Will, all the time. You know that.
Okay. Hey, it comes with the territory, and I'll just give you a little sneak peek. I can't talk about it too much. I may not have to wear the mask. We'll see if some of these restrictions are adjusted, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves if we're still waiting to get a final decision on all of it. So we'll see what happens.
All right, let's talk about Pat Burrell. Came over in, I think, May. Tampa Bay let him go. But, whoa, you look at the numbers, and I do some of these greatest games in Giants history, the home runs he hit against the Dodgers, pinch-hit home runs. Pat Burrell was a huge part of 2010, a huge part. I'm not sure everyone understands how important he was.
Well, you're right, Marty. You know, we always saw Pat on the other side. You know, Philly had that great club, and you know, I've always admired Pat because, you know, he was I think he was a number one pick, and he got a lot of money to sign. With that gets a lot of pressure comes with that. And, you know, playing in Philly is no easy task. And when we traded for him, I thought we're getting a guy that knows how to win and has been tested, because he had some big years over there, 117 RBIs, 116 RBIs, hit the ball out of the ballpark. You know, he was loved and he was booed, you know, when he wasn't going good. He was a home run hitter that, you know, when he went cold. So, and you're playing in Philly, you know the way the fans are. But so he was battle tested. He's been through it. And then Brian makes the move to get him over with us. And you're right. He was a tremendous part of what we did. I'm not just saying this, not just on the field. I think he had 18 homers for us with 350 at bats. And we needed a presence in the lineup, and we needed that pop. And we won that World Series by hitting home runs that year. You know, you look at Cody Ross, hit the big home runs off of Holiday. But Pat was in the middle of it, and more so than what he did on the field. What he did in the clubhouse, he really solidified the winning attitude. When we brought him in, he was a friend and a teammate of Aubrey Huff in Tampa Bay. And Aubrey, you know, he beats to a little bit of his own drummer. But when we had Cody Ross and Pat Burrell, they really took hold of that clubhouse with that burning desire to win. They had been through it. They knew what it took, and they kept everybody on point. And I can't say enough good things about him. And, you know, from there, I just have to say that, you know, he went on to be an advanced scout for us when he was done playing. And I thought he did a tremendous job. And the one thing I'll mention about why I liked him so much is there's something about when you're a scout in the major leagues, and this is the way it used to be done, is, you know, your value is you can look at players, but your value, if you know the players on the field, and you can go down and talk to the players, and you can get information about a guy you're trying to sign from the players. They know the warts of a guy. They know if he's of a drinker or if he cares or he doesn't care. And there's tremendous value in that. So he was a great advanced scout. And as you guys know now, he's coaching. He's supposed to be our hitting coach in San Jose this year, which I respect so much that he's willing to go back, give back to the game, and share with those A-ball guys everything knows about hitting. So I just want to see him get to work over there. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I tell you what, Ron, after he did your scouting, he ended up working with Stanford a couple of years, and then he ended up being an analyst on NBC Bay Area with us. So I got to work with him several, you know, three or four game series, and I really got to know Pat, and the knowledge that he knew about hitting, I was so glad to get him back in the game. He wanted back in the game. There was too much energy and too much life and too much knowledge. But, you know, he tells the story after, you know, he got hot with Philadelphia and they gave him a three-year contract and it just never clicked. He went to Tampa Bay for 2 years, got a big, big contract there, but again, nothing clicked. And they released him. And he was home here in the Bay Area when Sabian called him. He goes, I'm laying on the couch thinking baseball's over. And Brian goes, hey, I want you to get to AAA, get some at-bats. Well, he went to AAA. He wasn't even there a week, and they called him up. And he goes, talk about going right into the pennant race with the Giants, and I'm playing left field. He goes, my knees are shaking like I was a rookie. But, boy, he came through. He had some big home runs, eight home runs in 2009 and then 2010. He really helped that club. And as you said, he was the life of that clubhouse with Cody Ross and all his other gangs, the guys that they hung out with. But they put that team together, and they were stuck together. And that was the bond that he kept saying that won that 2010 World Series. Everybody cheered for each other. Everybody supported each other. And I commend Pat for being that guy that never played, and all of a sudden you get that last life, and he put it together for two great years with the Giants.
Boy, you guys did well. Very good on Pat Burrell. Very good. Meant a lot to the ball club. Hung around with Brian Wilson probably a little too much. But other than that, a very, very instrumental part of winning. And
yeah.
That was good. Yeah, very. That's what, yeah. Glad we do this. All right. Edgar Renteria. And, guys, this is a guy with hits, 2,300 hits or more in his career, World Series MVP kind of thing, big hits in the World Series. But, well, you had him. He was a shortstop for you. What about Edgar Renteria?
Well, I always admired Edgar from the other side of the dugout. You know, I saw him as a young player with the Marlins, and then really the most formidable years I saw him was when he was in St. Louis in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I was always impressed with him, and I always related to him because I actually played winter ball in Barranquilla, Colombia, 1 year.
Oh, really?
I played in Venezuela, and I played in Barranquilla. It was a double-A league. Johnny Lippon was our manager with the Pirates. And that's where Edgar's from. As a matter of fact, the Barranquilla Baby is one of his nicknames. And he's been about 15 major leaguers from Colombia. I think the ones now are is Alfaro, the catcher with Philly, the pitcher Tehran with Atlanta. But anyways, Edgar is the best to ever come out of Colombia. And, you know, the way I talked about Pat Burrell, Edgar was as good of Latin presence that you can find in the game. You know, he was under Tony La Russa. He won the World Series with the Marlins, right? He got that big hit. He started out young, having success in the game, and he cared. And the one thing that really stands out about him, he's one of my favorite players of all time, the coach, very respectful. But, you know, he always wanted to do early work, Bill, and you know how important it is to have these leaders in the clubhouse. So if Edgar's going out at 3 o'clock to take his ground balls, what do you think the younger players are going to do? And especially the Latin players, they're going to come out, and that's what Edgar did. He expected those guys to come out with him. He helped his teammates. He helped the young guys. And if they didn't want to go, he grabbed them and said, we're going. And he taught them what it was about to be a major leaguer and put the hard work in to be the best you can. And I just absolutely love him, and was a great player for the Giants and for a lot of clubs.
I tell you what, Ron, each week I get to know something that you and I are in common with. I also played in Colombia. I played for the Cartagena Indians.
So you had the nice city there in Cartagena with the casinos.
The casinos and the beautiful beaches, let me tell you, the beautiful Colombian women are beautiful down in those years. So it was great. It was a wide awakening, double-A, triple-A league, and I was with the Royals. We took a whole Royal team over there, and you're right. I mean, you have a handful of Colombian baseball players, and of course, we both know the playing field there. It was so rough, and there wasn't groundskeepers. You raked your own mound. You did all kind of things just to get the game going. But he was that guy from Colombia that everybody talked about. His career started in Florida, and I remember him, St. Louis. That's where I really thought he took off. And the couple of years he played with the Giants toward the end of his career, he had some great hits, and he never complained about playing time. And when he played, he was just as good as his older days when it was younger days.
Good shortstop, Will?
Yes. Now, you know what? He was very fundamentally sound. You know, he liked to practice the fundamentals. He wasn't flashy. You know, a lot of Latin players, they play on those rough fields and they one-handed fielders. He did everything by the book, two-handed fielding. He tried to get in front of the ball. He tried to do it like, you know, we teach here in the States, which was a little unusual for Latins. You think of Omar Vizquel mm-hmm. and a lot of the great Latin shortstops, you know, one-handed, they're kind of a freewheeling player. But he was fundamentally sound by the book, worked extremely hard, and he was an outstanding shortstop. I mean, we had him at the tail end of his career, but, of course, the three-run homer to put the game away in Texas. And, you know, he had that bicep tendon that was ruptured when he was playing at that point in time.
That's right.
I can't say how much of a gamer this guy was and how much of a presence he was in the clubhouse. Just a pro's pro. And you appreciate those guys as a coach, let me tell you.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Boy, I enjoy this part of it. Joe Lafay, Pat Burrell, and Edgar Renteria, we really learned something about it. And, again, I'll tell you, Woe, and when you guys are close to winning a World Series again, and I don't know how close you are now, who knows what this crazy season is going to look like, but it takes guys like this to win a World Series.
Yeah.
It takes guys like this.
I agree, Marty. You know, I mean, there's Saves did a great job bringing the right personnel in there. And, you know, you need the veterans that have been through it, know what's going on, and the young players, too. So we had some good years. There's no doubt about it. But I'm glad we have a chance to talk about some of these players, because behind the scenes, you know, as good as Pat was on the field and Edgar, they even offered so much more to the club and the winning attitude. And you need people like that.
Yeah, yep. You don't win without
Ron, just a quick question to you. You know, when you're adding all these players in August and September, when they first come in that locker room, how difficult it is to come in without knowing all these other teammates and just kind of fit in and knowing what your role is? How difficult is that for players?
Well, I think, Bill, I think it's a lot easier today than it was when we were playing or years ago. That's because today when players are drafted, you know, they're getting so much money out of the draft. A lot of these number one picks, they're in major league camp the first year they're drafted. Mm. And they're not even necessarily going to make the team for another 3 or 4 years. So they get exposed to the major leagues. I think a lot of the players today have the same agents. So there's kind of this little bit of respect that they have a connection with the same agents. I remember when I was a young player going to the big leagues, I didn't know any of those guys I went up to. You know, I never rubbed elbows with them until I had a chance to maybe break into the team. But in today's game, these players are rubbing elbows with the big leaguers. So I think they're more comfortable when they come into the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around it a little bit more than when we played.
Yeah.
One last thing on Edgar Renteria. 3 World Series for him, Woe, and Bill. 69 at-bats. He hit .333, 391 on base, .508 slugging, 2 homers, 10 RBIs in his 3 World Series. So he's a money player, money player.
He's a money player, and not just, you know, the mention the home run, but he could create a run. He would bunt if the third baseman was back to get on base at the right time, and you could hit and run with him. You know, you want to put somebody in motion. And we don't see that today, but when you're playing a close game and a must-win game, he's a heads-up player.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go. We could go on for another hour. We'll save Jack McKeon, Ken Griffey Jr. We'll save them for next week. We'll talk about them next week. But Gus Triandos, Jim Bunning's perfect game on Father's Day against the Mets was a big deal. We've got that on the show tonight, too. So great having you on. In a way, I'm selfish that, you know, if you do start playing well, we're not going to be able to do this on Saturday night. It's going to be hard to do it. So. We have to take advantage now of this great discussion with you and Bill.
Well, thanks, Marty. It's great to be on with both of you guys, Bill and Marty. And I want to wish you both a happy Father's Day. I hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow. It's your day now, so go get that prime rib at Lenardi's. I was in there the other day, and there was a line. All the dads were in there picking up the prime rib. It's the one day they get to pick their own meal, so they're real happy about it.
Well, I would wish both of you guys a happy Father's Day and all the fans out there. And it doesn't have to be a father when the mother's taking care of kids. And Marty brought that up in the beginning of the show. But at the same time, happy Father's Day to all the fathers that helped all of us through our childhood to become good baseball players and different people in our lives. And Marty, you have a good day tomorrow. And Ron, it's always good listening to you and talking to you, too. And have a special day, both of you.
Great, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. That's Ron Wotus and Bill Lasky. Boy, what a great. It's great stuff. And I know everybody enjoys it. So I'm glad to be able to bring that to you. Prime Rib. They're talking about Prime Rib tomorrow at Original Joe's in North Beach. Prime Rib special. And they've got the brunch special as well, so every weekend now at Original Joe's. So more coming up, as I always say, when we finish this part of the show, get ready, sit back. We got another few hours to go. We've got a great show coming up for you. Bruce Jenkins is coming up, and Kerry Crowley, Adam Copeland. What do you hear? The interview with him and the great things he's doing. We've got so many things coming up that sit back on this Saturday night, enjoy it. And this is what baseball is all about. We'll see where it goes. As I say, every Saturday, we'll know more next Saturday. Who knows? But the main thing is to be safe and healthy and respect the mask and social distancing and Black Lives Matter. As I said when I opened the show and when I close the show, I'll say it again. We live in a very, very difficult time right now, and we have to respect people and understand that many, many things have happened for many, many centuries, and we cannot go backwards. We cannot go backwards. Keep your eyes open, and it's a big part of where we are as a country today, and I hope baseball can have a significant part of it. So sit back, relax. We've got much more coming up. And then, Raf, thank you for a great job of getting all this together tonight. I know you've been working a good part of the day today. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680, 104.5 FM, the sports leader.